Grace and peace to you from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord has heard the cry of his people, Israel, and he has sent them a deliverer. He then freed them from slavery. He brought them securely through the waters of the Red Sea. He has rescued, he has redeemed, he has freed them. And now, having began this new life with great joy, the people grow weary. Although they're no longer enslaved, life still isn't easy. They find themselves feeling parched in a dry and miserable land. And they start taking for granted all the things that the Lord has already done for them. And they begin to question why the Lord hasn't done more for them. And we all find ourselves in these same times of testing, wondering, am I really better off? Why has the Lord allowed this hardship to fall upon me? We are not that different. They are the people of God, and we too are the people of God. Did God really say? Satan continues to murmur. As we've studied over these last 5 weeks, God has been gracious, and he has graciously rescued Israel, wondrously delivering them into a new life. They are currently walking towards the promised land, with Moses as their divinely appointed leader. So bright is their future, they have to wear shades. But the weeks sort of toll by. The Lord's promises of that bright and shiny future begin to sort of tarnish a little. The difficulties of the present moment loom so large that they start to long for things of past, and they forget how bad it was in Egypt, and they long for the meat and the bread that they had eaten back there. It's very easy for us to shake our heads in disbelief, wondering how they could have possibly been so daft. How could they be so ungrateful, so blind, and so just utterly foolish? But are we any different, really? In his great mercy, the Lord has mightily saved us from sin and death and hell, oppressive enemies that we had no hope of beating on our own. His saving grace has brought us through the waters of holy baptism, instilling his Holy Spirit within us that brings us to a whole new way of Christian life and freedom, and how we encounter almost everything in our lives. And in his steadfast love, he has promised to lead us home to a glorious eternal life, to a place that he himself has said that he has gone there ahead of us to prepare for us. With such exceedingly great promises, could our own futures be any brighter? The thing of it is, along the way, we run into troubles. And the journey's not always easy. Because life in a wilderness, it's wearying on us at times. And we may feel like we don't have the strength to keep going. Because despite all of these promises that he has made to us and kept in the past and continues to make to us now and has promised to bring us to eventually, we still have wars and rumors of wars and deployments and kids and poverty and expansion plans and bills and illnesses and death and work commitments and traffic, and the dog is sick again. And so contentment can sometimes be hard to come by. Now, granted, hunger and thirst are not our primary needs, but the difficulties that lie before us are still our difficulties. It's still our desert, and it still feels just as dreary and barren as any other desert. We might find ourselves questioning whether the Lord is really caring for us as he ought. Our problems of the moment, we can perceive them to just be so large that they block our view of all the things that he has already done for us. And while the world beckons us and promises us that it does have something better, it's not true. Now imagine for a moment if you were in God's place after all that you have done for them in a relatively short amount of time. After all the unimaginable good that you have prepared for them, how might you respond to this sort of ingratitude and complaints? And I think what gets me the most is the distrust. And whatever your answer is, likely, it's probably not the same as the Lord God's answer. For in his grace is not conditional upon our gratitude. His mercy is not based upon our merit. Our faith may be fickle, but the Lord's resolve stands steadfast. So what does the Lord do? Well, he shows them further compassion. He pardons them. He provides for them. To the people of Israel starving in this sun-scorched desert of the Sinai Peninsula, God sends unto them manna, literally bread from heaven, to nourish and to strengthen them on their journey. And to the people of God struggling in this sin-scorched desert of a fallen world, God sends unto us Jesus Christ, who is also the living bread from heaven, to strengthen us and to nourish our faith so that we can keep on with the journey. When the Israelites gather the manna each and every day, they find that the supply never runs out. They have just enough that they need for the day, except on Friday when they get two, which isn't in our readings, but you all know it. I want to make sure that you know that I know that you know that I know. There was always enough. And we too have a never-ending supply of refreshment and renewal. When we're weak, he provides. When we feel empty, he fills. And yes, each day has enough trouble for its own. This wilderness that we live in, Charleston, has its difficulties. The biggest problem with Charleston really is the fact that it's just so successful. There's plenty of cities out there that would give anything to trade their problems for our problems. Our families are large and complex and successful. Our bills are paid. I don't know anybody looking for work. There's no recession. There's no layoffs. Nobody has to move back in with mom and dad. Canada hasn't even invaded us yet. I mean, can things get any better? God, in his superabundant grace, gives us this bread from heaven at no charge. Now, that does not mean that that bread didn't come with a cost. It is free to us, but it is because the Lord God had paid that price himself. And it's true that we so often hunger for all of the wrong things, for food that doesn't really satisfy. Christ hungered and thirsted for our salvation, so he came down from heaven into the desert of this fallen world in order to make a way from us, to take us from slavery to freedom, from fasting to feasting, to redeem us with his holy, precious blood, to give himself into death, thereby to become the bread of life. And he arose and leads us. After the Exodus, the people of Israel had a very long journey to go, longer than what the Lord had planned. They had a 40-plus year journey ahead of them. And those years in the desert are not necessarily going to be easy, and we know that. But through it all, the Lord continued to provide. 40 years, he rains down manna from heaven each morning to strengthen and sustain them. Ultimately, he did bring them to a good and abundant land, just as he had promised that he was going to. So having been redeemed by Christ, still with their pilgrimage that lay ahead of them, the path is not always going to be smooth. The same thing goes for us. We will walk, but we will not walk alone. Neither will the Lord ever leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. Through word and sacrament ministry, he feeds us the bread of life. He supplies us with that which we need and a supply that never runs out. These are the means of grace. And he continues without fail to forgive every new sin, every time we fail and trip and fall. Every time we hear that word of God live in person into our ears, we receive the body and blood of Jesus, reminding us that this journey is not something we have to do on our own. Whoever eats this bread, Christ himself says, will never hunger. And the Lord will bring us to a heavenly land that he has promised. In Christ, God provides all that we need for our journey through this life and into eternity. Having reached our destination, we will never be hungry again. We will never be thirsty again. And the Lord God himself will welcome us at his table, and we will take the place that he has prepared for us in the great heavenly banquet that he has promised to go to prepare for us. This is the great story of the Exodus that we've now, in this Lenten season, heard twice. It's the story of Christ in the Exodus that he had laid out for us almost as a prophecy so that we would be able to look and see Christ as he comes. And so we see Christ in the Exodus, and then we see Christ in his own ministry as he calls and guides us to eternal life. Coming to our rescue time and time again and feeding us, sustaining us on the journey, and waiting for that glory that awaits us. All glory and honor and praise be to Jesus Christ, our great Redeemer, now and forever. Amen.